Hello, it's Mia Friedman, co-founder of the Mamma Mia Women's Media Company, and I'm popping into your feed as a lady startup, assuming that you are interested in the stories of other women who started their own businesses, and maybe, just maybe, you have an inkling that you might like to start your own. If that's the case, I have a couple of things that I'd like to share with you today, and that is the 6 steps to nailing your lady startup idea. One of the things I get asked most often within the lady startup platform is, what do I do if I have no idea? Or I have too many ideas? Or I'm just not sure if this idea is the right one? So I wanted to quickly take you through 6 steps that will really, really help you to nail that idea. You don't need to actually follow these steps in real time. And in fact, I encourage you to listen and take it all in and then spend some time brainstorming and working on your lady startup idea. And you can always come back and re-listen, make some notes, sleep on it, and come back and think about it some more, because sometimes these things take a little bit of time to gel. Now, the first step to nailing your lady startup idea is your why. Before we get started, I really want you to think about, why do you want to be a lady startup? And that's even more important, or it's more important as a first step than trying to figure out what your business idea is. I really want you to think about what your driving factors are. Why do you want to become a lady startup? Why do you want to own a business or your own side hustle? What's the drive behind this motivation or desire you have? And there's no right or wrong answer for this, because for a lot of people, the answers are going to be different. And I'll give you some examples. One of the big reasons that I wanted to start my own business is that I had 2 young kids and I'd had a very bruising experience in a very male-dominated workplace and a job that I found really, really difficult and unfulfilling and unpleasant. And I didn't want to be at the mercy of a culture I couldn't control anymore. I didn't want to have to do the old walk of shame, not the sex walk of shame, but the career job walk of shame, where you have to, what I used to do is that I used to just work with all these men, and I had a baby at home and I'd have to try to get home to see her quickly before she went to bed, and also my son. And then of course I'd hop back online and I'd keep working. But if I didn't leave the office at 5:30 and, you know, begin my hour long commute home, I wouldn't get to see her. So every day I would have these bosses and these guys, colleagues that I worked with, who would call meetings for like 5 o'clock or 5:30 or sometimes even 6. And so what I would do is at lunchtime, I'd go and I'd put my bag and my keys and my phone and my jacket in my car, and I'd hide them under the front seat. And then just before 5:30, I'd grab some papers that looked like I was doing something, you know, meeting wise. And I'd pick up my phone and I'd pretend to be on my phone, and I'd walk out of my office and walk to the lift as though I was going somewhere else in the building. And I would hop in the lift, and I would scurry down to the car park and duck down low in my car, and I would drive off. And of course, when I left the company, lots of whispers went around that, oh, she just wasn't that dedicated to her job. Now, they couldn't see the hours that I then went home and spent after work. And I got really tired of justifying it, because what study after study shows is that more than the number of hours that you have to work, and even more than the money you earn, what's important for women in controlling our stress levels is having control of those hours and deciding, you know what, I've got to leave at 4 because I've got to pick my kid up, or I'm going to start at 10 because I want to go to reading group, or I've got to go to the dentist, or I want to go for a run, or I want to meditate, or I want to see my therapist. And I'll make that time up, whether it's later on or on the weekend. And more women, particularly as they get more and more responsibilities in their lives, whether it's aging parents or little kids or a dog, they want more flexibility and they want to have control over those hours. So that idea of flexibility and control over your working life is a big motivating factor for women wanting to start their own business. So it's no accident that a big trigger point for women is after they have children. Another why is just wanting to have more meaning. You know, you might be doing something every day. You might be really good at it. It might be your job. It might be your career. It's how you earn your money. You might be a lawyer. You might work in finance or retail or hospitality. And it's a very solid job and it's a solid income and there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not going to tell you to give it up, but you would like to do something that maybe is a bit more creative, maybe feels a little bit more authentically you. maybe gives you a way to express yourself and take control of the decisions that are made in a business instead of having to execute someone else's vision. And that's a really strong driving factor for women to start a side hustle or a business. And of course, there's money. You know, you might see a gap in the market. You might see something that no one else has seen, or you might think that you can do something better than what's currently out there. And who doesn't want a little bit of pocket money, or actually a whole other source of income? So they're all different. They're just three of the whys. And again, there's no right or wrong answer, and yours might be all of those things. It might be none of those things. It might be a combination of them. But think about your why. That's step one. Step two, play to your strengths. Now that you are clear on your why, when you do get clear on your why, I want you to move ahead and start to gain a little bit more clarity on what this idea is going to be. And so for this next exercise, I want you to start to think about what you're really, really good at. I want you to think about your strengths and the areas in which you excel. So think about specific technical skills, but also character traits. And I want you to go really broad on this. So in terms of technical skills, you might say, well, I can read spreadsheets. I can tap dance. I'm a really good baker, or I'm really good at organization. I'm really good at public speaking. And then as far as character traits, I want you to make another list of all the character traits you have. And I don't want you to think about these in terms of good and bad. I just want you to be really honest about these character traits. So it might be I like to work in teams. It might be I get easily embarrassed. It might be that I love being at the center of attention. Or it might be that I am incredibly disorganized. I want you to be really honest and list as many character traits as you can, to spend a bit of time in the Hall of Mirrors and really think about who you are and what you're good at, and whether you're introverted or extroverted, whether you like to work solo, whether you're a night owl, all of those different things. And also every technical skill that you might have, whether it's that you can type, whether it's that you're really good on social media. There are so many different technical skills, whether you like to write, whether you're good with words, whether you're good with numbers. Perhaps you're a great cook. Perhaps you make a mean bolognese, or you're very creative and you really like craft. Write down all of the skills that you can. Okay, once you've done that, again, remember, you're not doing this in real time, so I don't need to have some thinking music while you actually go off and do that. That's step two. List all your strengths and all your character traits. Now, in step three, we're going to identify your niche. And I'm going to ask you a series of questions that I want you to answer. I want you to make sure that you jot down the answers to these questions on your phone or on a notepad. And I really want you to get creative and let the ideas flow. And you might want to pause between each question so you can write down as many answers as you can, because yet again, there's not just one answer. The more answers you can write, the easier the next step is going to be. And the reason that I'm asking you to do this is that you are going to spend countless hours on your future lady startup business, whether it's a business or a side hustle. And I really, really want to make sure that you choose an area of business, which is your niche, that holds your interest and that you really enjoy spending time on. Because what's that expression? If you do something you love, you'll never work a day in your life. It's kind of not true, because you will still work. But you've got to be pretty passionate about running your own business, because I'm not going to pretend to you that it is not a slog, that it is not a lot of work. It is. But if you are doing something that you really feel passionate and excited about, then it feels like a lot less work than if you're doing something that you find actually quite tedious. All right, you ready for the questions? What do you do for fun? What do you do for fun? What's fun for you? Might be puzzles, might be watching Netflix. I shouldn't lead the witness with answers, but think about what you like to do for fun. The second question is, what do you care deeply about? What really matters to you? What do you care deeply about? Number three, what parts of the day do you love the most? What parts of the day do you love the most? Is it the mornings? Is it the nights? Is it lunchtime? Is it the parts of day when you get home from work? Is it when you've been in a really great meeting? What are the parts of the day that you love the most? Next question. How do you love to spend your weekends? This is so insightful. What do you do on weekends? Again, there's no right answer. Just be honest. Next question. What are your hobbies? Someone said to me, my hobby is my phone, which I think is a bit sad, but also true for most of us. What are your hobbies? And the definition of hobbies, I think, are things that you kind of do for fun, but that are low stakes. It might be baking cookies or cupcakes. It might be doing puzzles. It might be colouring in. It might be listening to podcasts. That's certainly one of my hobbies. What did you enjoy as a child? What did you really enjoy doing as a child? That's a really interesting question. What ideas, and the final one is, what ideas come to you in the shower? I love this question because did you know that there's something about running water that taps into a part of our creative brain that nothing else can tap into it? And there's this research lab somewhere in Europe where actually for their scientists, they have these just shower banks where you can just go and just shower while you think. How cool is that? So it's no accident that some of us have our best ideas in the shower. But what ideas come to you in the shower? Okay, so now that you've completed those questions, we get to step four, the idea list. What I want you to do is pull all the information that you compiled from what your strengths are and what your hobbies are, and I want you to now begin to build out your dream business wish list. What types of businesses could you launch? I want you to look at patterns from what you've already brainstormed and just let your imagination run wild. List out anything that comes to mind, not just what you think is a realistic idea. So, you know, it might be being a judge on MasterChef. It might be recording an album. It might be being a choreographer at the Super Bowl halftime show. Don't feel that, or a Formula One driver. It doesn't mean that you have to be realistic. I just want you to let your imagination run wild and list all these ideas that you can think of that would be on your dream business wish list. Step five is the top three challenge. So once you've let the ideas above settle, I want you to sleep on them if you need to give yourself some time, because sometimes we can get in a little bit of a frenzy and an idea that feels really good at 11 o'clock at night feels a little less great at 7 o'clock the next morning. So sleep on it, give it a little bit of time. And then I want you to pull out the three ideas that stand out to you. When I said that you can write, you know, crazy ideas, it would also have been good in the previous step if you had written down some ideas that are also realistic. So make sure you've got a spectrum of ideas to work with before you pull out the three ideas that stand out to you. And how do you choose these three? Well, these are the ones that really feel worthy of exploring more and putting more time and energy and even perhaps money behind. Okay, so these are going to be your top three ideas. Now, there's a bonus step in here before we get to step six, and that is the circle of trust. So by now, you've taken the time to think about what you're really good at and what you enjoy doing and where your real interests sit. You've brainstormed your multiple business ideas and you've narrowed it down to the top three contenders, which is great. But our next step is doing a little bit of research and getting some feedback from those who are closest to you. Ask your circle of trust. I recommend including in your circle of trust your closest family and friends, but make sure they are family and friends. Choose them carefully, because we've all got some friends and some family who will be very negative about everything. And then we've also got some family and friends who will just blow smoke up our skirt and go, "That's amazing. That's amazing." Pick the ones who are going to be honest with you. Okay, I want you to run the top three contenders past those people. People you trust, people who know you really well, and people who have your best interests at heart and will not bring their own baggage to this conversation. Okay, I want you to ask them whether they think the business idea complements your skill sets. Do they see any opportunities where maybe they can assist you with your business idea or help develop it any further? Have they got any thoughts how, you know, maybe you could develop this or do it in a slightly different way, any feedback that they have? And I want you to use this close circle as a sounding board to discuss all three of your top three ideas and help narrow them down to one or two final choices that you can then move forward with. And then we get to step six, the big idea. And in this final step, I'm going to ask you to look back, review your answers from the previous exercises, all the previous steps we've done, and I want you to narrow down your top three business ideas into the one big idea that you are going to use as your lady startup launchpad. And when you're choosing among these top three ideas, and if you do go on to join me in the Lady Startup Activation Plan course, we really do spend the first week stress testing your idea. I'm going to tell you about some of the traps people fall into. I'm going to tell you some other ways to really filter this idea through some important filters that are going to really determine whether your idea is the right one for you and whether it's likely to be a success. But I want you to take into consideration when you're deciding amongst these top three ideas, your why, your strengths, and what motivates you. And you really want to be on alert for patterns that begin to emerge, okay? So what excites you, what your inner circle contributed to the conversation, and what you feel that, you know, you can really make succeed out in the marketplace. I don't want you to ignore your gut instinct either, because gut instincts are really underrated. And I think that some people think, oh, your gut instinct, it's just all woo-woo and doesn't mean anything. Your gut instinct is just actually a way of, it's like a euphemism for everything you've learned and experienced throughout your whole life. And it's just like a shortcut to all of that. Malcolm Gladwell calls it thin slicing, when you just have a straightaway, you take a whole lot of information and you process it really quickly. And your gut instinct will often do that. So you'll often be drawn towards something, or when people ignore their gut instinct, I know I've done this before where I'm just like, it'll be fine. I'm just not sure. Now, don't confuse that with self-doubt, because that's different. And women in particular are very, very vulnerable to self-doubt. You know, they say that a man will go for something if he thinks he's 50% qualified to do it. And a woman, even if she's 90% qualified, she will say, no, I can't do that. So you're never going to go, you know what, this idea is perfect. I don't doubt anything about it. I know I'm going to crush it. I mean, if you do feel like that, go you. But don't feel that self-doubt means that it's the wrong thing. That's different to gut instinct. But I want you to take all of the information, all these steps I've shown you, come up, you know, you should have been able to narrow it down to one, two, or even three ideas, and just sit with that for a bit. I mean, if you want to join me in the Lady Startup Activation Plan, you don't have that long to sit with it, because the doors close on February 23rd and you're going to have to make a call before then. But I would love you to join me. And if you've been listening to this episode of the podcast and you do join the Lady Startup Activation Plan, I've got a special opportunity for you if you do enroll in these last few days. You will get a bonus goal setting masterclass that I've recorded, because what can be so daunting when you're sort of here at the idea stage and you're like, oh my God, how will I actually get to launch the business? And that's what the Lady Startup Activation Plan does. It takes you week by week through all of those steps, which I'm going to tell you in one sec. But setting goals is a really important part of moving forward, because procrastination is something that every lady startup knows very, very, very well. I still battle with procrastination. So I've got this masterclass that you'll get as a bonus if you've listened to this podcast and you join me in the Activation Plan, that will show you the secret to successful goal setting. But in terms of what the actual course is, I want to just quickly explain to you, because there are some people who've said to me, oh, I don't know if it's for me. What do you actually do? And I just wanted to give you a very brief overview so that you know if it's right for you. First of all, I'll tell you who it's not right for. If you have already got your business up and running and it's kicking and you are making good money, this is not the course for you. We will have courses for you down the track, but this is for someone who has maybe got an idea. Maybe wants to start a side hustle, maybe has tentatively launched and it's just not kicking and things have just stalled or perhaps not worked out. And that's in many, many cases because those foundational pieces weren't set up properly. I know lots of women in that situation. And some women just want to take their kind of little hobby and ramp it up. And so that is who the course is for. The other person that it's not for is if you are suffering really, really bad financial hardship at the moment. It's you've got it, or if you've got some crisis going on in your life, if you've got a health crisis, someone in your life is having a health crisis. This is not the time. We love you. We support you. We send you all our love, but you need to focus on putting out the proverbial fires in your life. Hopefully they're not actual fires. I know that a lot of ladies startups were affected by the bushfires. If you are someone who you're listening to those whys, wants more flexibility, is looking for more meaning, would like to explore starting a side hustle or a business, and you have a few hours a week available for the next 6 weeks, this could be the course for you. And I mean, imagine if I said to you in just 6 weeks from now, you could have your very own business or side hustle. More than 1,000 women have done this course, and I hear from them and meet them, and they send me their products and their launches, their launch press releases every single day. And they are such a diverse group, the people who do the course. You know, in terms of ideas, there's everything from a burger bar in Papua New Guinea to Bloom Counseling, which is a counseling service for people who've been diagnosed with cancer, children's mindfulness apps, authors, podcasters, artists, graphic designers, people who want to start online stores that stock other people's products, candle makers, homeopathic tea brands. We've got honey manufacturers. What else? There's literally nothing that we don't have. We've got toys, sex toys, a seniors channel of content for people who live in old age homes, a lady startup called Ula Neon, which hires out neon signs for weddings and does custom neon signs as well. There's really just the most extraordinary diverse range of goods and services that women start in the Lady Startup program. So just quickly telling you what we do, it's a 6 week program. You do it on your phone or on your laptop. It's a series of short videos that are taught by me with accompanying written content that you can download, and they have all the links and everything that you need. It's kind of like business out of a box. It's like all the steps that you need. I hold your hand through it. I'm like your human sports bra. And in week one, we build your idea. And we do things like we nail down your audience, your name, your business name, the problem that your business is solving. And at the end, you'll have, you know, at the end of that week, you'll have a really, really solid business idea. In week two, we build your brand. And at the end of that week, you'll have a clear and killer brand logo and brand board that I will show you how to do for free, as well as a brand story, which will provide a really distinct identity for your business, as well as direction. And that keyword, which is clarity. In week three, we build your product. And at the end of that week, you'll have actually a product or a path to product. And we also build your website that week. So you'll have a place to sell it and sell yourself, because that's important. No matter what your business is, you have to have somewhere that people can find you. In week four, we build your scaffolding. And at the end of that week, you're going to have a list of people that you will need to collaborate with to get your business off the ground and running smoothly. And that's when we go into all the infrastructure that you need around bookkeeping and accounting. And I really break that down very simply and show you how to do a really, really simple business plan. In week five, we build your audience and we engage and connect with them so that they're all ready to buy your product or service when you launch. And at the end of this week, you'll know who you're marketing to, how to find them, how to engage them, and how to keep them coming back. You'll have a full marketing plan. And then in week six, we launch. Well, you don't have to launch in week six. You've got lifetime access to the course, but you'll have everything within that 6 weeks to know how to launch. And at the end of week six, you'll have a DIY guide to free PR, and you'll also have a content plan to ensure that you're going to launch with strong messaging and exposure and ultimately success. And when I ask the women who've done the course what they think the best part is, they all say pretty much it's the inspiration and the support they get from the group. Because as part of this, one of the things I found about being a lady startup was the loneliness. I felt really lonely often working at home on my own. And so I wanted to build a community, a cheerleading group, a market research department, all of those things, a cheer squad, a shoulder to cry on and celebrate with. And it's all women, hundreds of women who are doing the course with you, who are all at the same stage as you, who give you really great advice and tips and tricks. And we all go through it together. I'm in that group a lot doing live Q&As, and we've got the whole Lady Startup team that offer you support and can answer your questions as we go through. So that is a lot to take on board, but I hope that you're feeling inspired and maybe motivated. And I also hope that by giving you all of this kind of info about the course, you will be able to make a smart, informed decision about whether you might be able to take the first step. If you have been listening and you feel that tingle, that sense of, yes, I think this is for me, then I invite you to join me. We also have an Idea Kickstarter mini express course. So head to ladystartup.com to find out more. You'll also find a link in the show notes. Invest in yourself, listen to your gut, and maybe it's time to finally let that business that's trapped inside you get out and into the world. Maybe it's time to join me and become a lady startup.